be more like a country western singer. All right, I'm Meg. I'm a food and sugar addict.
And you came back.
So this morning we're going to do a little more tame and also reflective. And then also I'm going to spend some time in reentry, because we've been living in a bubble this weekend, which is so wonderful and so needed. And then we have to go out there. But for now, you got more envelopes and paper. You saw that. And we talked about emergence. Remember, and you wrote that on your card, what you wanted to emerge, what you wanted to come forth. And think about that going forward. You have a white piece of paper that's blank that I put on your chair. I'm going to have you do some writing on that. And what I'm asking you to do is to write on there what you want to release, what you no longer want to hold on to. Even if you still are hanging on to it, you are putting this prayer out to your higher power. So we've done all the steps this weekend. You admitted that you have some things in your life you'd like to see changed. And one of the cool things in this program, how many of you have this beautiful wallet card? While stepping a problem. Oh, it's awesome. And written by us, for us. And step one says, I admit I'm powerless over blank. How does this make my life unmanageable? So I had you write things you want to release, things you no longer want to hold on to. And then you did talk to God, because when I gave you that graphic novel assignment, some of you said, oh dear God, he's going to make us do what? So that helps. I just want to do that. And God and I, all of your gods, and I had a discussion, and God is very pleased. But then look at all the inventory you took. You took a little inventory with your step cards and your little novel, and then you shared your novel. The group I was in, it was extremely touching. And it was like we were all kids in a classroom again, cheering for each other. And truth and heart was shared. You turned your will and your care over, and then you also became willing to do something different. And then again, you prayed to God again and said, oh, dear God, we have to do this. And some of you admitted things. You will go and amend things. We had prayer and meditation this weekend. We looked at our daily, and we talked about service this morning. So you see how the 12 steps, as I know you all know, live in our everyday life. They don't, sometimes they're linear, sometimes that's extremely needed. And sometimes it flows in and out, and we grab that step, that concept, that tradition that we need, and put it in our pocket for the day. For your white piece of paper, I want you to write that one thing you want to release. And are there more plastic bags back there? What I'd like to offer to you is, you can either take that home and burn it, or you can give it to me, and I'm going to go to a friend of mine's. I'm going to put it in a bag. I'm not going to look at them. And we're going to have a burning ceremony and offer them up to the universe as a prayer. And so I will take those on the flight with me to Minneapolis and do that for you if you'd like.
Will you take those people with you to Minneapolis?
I will. Anybody wants to come on? I've got room in my carry-on. I really was hoping we could have a fire out here and really do it, because there's something so powerful about burning. So if you want to, thank you. Thank you, Mary. Put it in the very shishi plastic bag. Pardon? But can we put paper in there?
Yeah.
So yes, I don't want to add a fine to our state. I don't think Joel will be very happy with me. So spend a few minutes if you have and write your resentment on there, and if you want plastic bags going around, and you know, fold it up tight. Like I said, I'm not gonna read or put it on social media or anything. Because I'm gonna put mine in there too. Oh. whatever you want to release, whatever you want out of yourself, your body, your heart. Oh, that's good. Well, that fire is going to be roaring. So if you hear of a huge fire flame burst in Minneapolis, know that the deed was done. Yeah, exactly. All right, so I'll give you just a couple more minutes and we'll go on to phase two.
Hey, Ben, could you also point out, and I forgot to answer, after we're done, we put need a sponsor, available sponsor. So if you fall into that category and you want to put your name and phone number up there, thank you. Just what it is.
Thanks, Rick. Yes, we always need sponsors. And you offer what you can up to the level. And I'll tell you, some of you may know this story, but there was this man, and he was complaining to his wife, and he was just saying, I have sponsored 183 people, and none of them have stayed sober. I'm a failure. And she turned to him and said, well, you're sober. So we sponsor because we share experience, strength, and hope. We work with people. We love them into their next step of whatever it is in their recovery. And we are there for them. And we work with them. And it's so important. So important. All right. So as we look at this weekend and think of all the learnings that you've had, on the sheet, the big sheet of paper, you have blue or green, and you have a real pretty colored envelope. And this is a time I want you to tap into your higher power. And I'm going to give you, 15, 20 minutes or whatever to really have time. But your higher power, whether it's God, Jesus, Buddha, the universe, spirit guides, prime creator, powerful essence, universal energy, goddess, whomever it is writing to you. And you're going to think about where you'd like to be next year. Because when you are finished, you're going to put this in that envelope. You're going to put today's date with next year on it. And you'll open it up a year from now. But your higher power is asking you to be this next year. And tap into that energy source and just write. And if it doesn't make sense at first, yes.
You're repeated.
Yeah.
We're busy trying to find the white bag.
Oh, all right. All right. The white bag is making it wrong. And it'll make it to back. So on your big piece of paper, you're going to write a letter to you from your higher power, being source. And that higher power is saying to you, these are the things I want for you this next year. And I'm here for you this next year. And all those things that you want to be, to expand to, just tap in and just free way. Any other questions? I'm doing this too. No, go for it. In fact, why don't we get back here about, what is 10:35, okay?
Yes.
All right, perfect.
Grab Mary.
I don't think she wants you to grab her, but you can grab her bag.
She wants me.
Yeah. There's those cushiony, cushiony. I think that's on the yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's your roster teacher.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sam.
Okay, we slowly come back, and if you are a sponsor, need a sponsor, please go over to the sponsor board and put your name on there. So I have everyone's release note. This is exciting, so I just want you to know I'm going to give it a big hug. And I'm going to send Rick an email after this is done so he can send it out to all of you and let you know. Yes, I will. I will send a picture. Thank you. Someone asked me. Absolutely.
In the neighbor's house, Bert.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. For the next 20 minutes, I'm going to, we're going to do some pitches. And Jan has volunteered, or was voluntold, or will be, to pass the mic around. And we'll limit it to 2 minutes all time. And just share anything you'd like to share, release. And are you going to be a first person? Oh, the envelope. So put today's date, 8-7, and then 2023 on it. And seal it shut. And then a year from now, you're going to read what your higher power wrote to you and see what all has transpired this year.
Bring it back next year to the retreat.
Oh, wow.
It's probably going to be the first weekend in August, so I'll bet you we'll be here on the 7th.
Okay.
I love it.
That's right.
No need. I'm sure it will work out.
All right. And the other thing before we start, I know you have these little cards and there's a little thing in there. Just know as a teacher, I always over-prepare. And we do whatever we can do. So you can do with the rest of this whatever. So it's up to you. All right. So pitches, anything you would like to share, we'll limit it to 2 minutes. And we'll go from there. Thank you.
Me. Oh, you'll time? All right, Trisha will time.
Trisha's going to be our timer, so 2 minutes. Who's going to be first?
Just raise your hand and share.
I'd like to lose 60 pounds by next year and to let go of my old self image of myself not being good enough.
Hi, everybody.
Cynthia, I'm recovered compulsive eater.
Hi, Cynthia.
And I just want to share that I am so emotional. And I'm not normally one who expresses their emotions. And this has been phenomenal. I'm not quite sure what I did here. But whatever it was has really connected me to my fellows. Sorry for my butt. and to my higher power, and even to my family and friends. And it's first of all, being here in Tahoe. And Meg, I've not met you before, but I felt such a connection with you. In English, there's an expression, there's a word that's beshirt, and this is just, beshirt means it's just meant to be. And I'm not going to question, because this is not a sad cry. This is a happy cry. And thank you all for making the trip from wherever you have come, from far and near. I've met some truly beautiful men and women. You are all beloved and gracious children of your higher power. And I just want to thank you all. Thank you for bringing that up. I have a mask that I can take. I lost mine.
That's right.
Here.
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 Here. Thank you. Next.
Thank you. I got my three.
I'm in Missilia, I'm a compulsive overeater. I came to this retreat 31 years ago, and then left AOA. And came back in November of 19. And I'm so, this has been a fabulous, fabulous retreat. And I am saddened to realize I won't be here next year, because I'll be on my way to Alaska in my RV. But I have, in those 31 years, been in 12-step and struggled with higher power stuff. And I named her today, which is Sotu, which is Spirit of the Universe. Which is a lot, I mean, I've used that term before, but I never gave her a name. And so I am recommitting myself to connecting with Sotu. And she's on my prayer stick. And this has just been a fabulous retreat. Thank you so much. And I will see you in 2 years.
I'm Ramona, I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my first live OA meeting or any kind of contact with other OA. I got abstinent during the pandemic, so it's been, it's just been different. I've been around recovery for a couple of decades, and I really worked hard at trying to separate, because those credits don't transfer as they I have been able to be abstinent for about come up on 2 years. So I'm just grateful for that, and I just found a whole nother world that I know I need to see. And anyways. I'm from the Monterey area, and we do have a meeting there on Tuesday night at 5:30. So we're online still because it's kind of small. So, anyways, I'm grateful to be here. Thanks.
Hi, my fellows. I'm Eileen.
Actually, I mean, Elizabeth, I started calling myself that a couple weeks ago. And I just am very grateful for the openness that I found coming back to this program about 9 months ago. A lady in program modeled it for me, and she reminded me what I wanted and was what she had. One of the things she did, she went to the 7 a.m. Saturday, 7 a.m. daily meeting, oasf.org, and we did literature studies, and it brought me in fellowship with a couple of people, one of which is my roommate this weekend. It was just absolutely, we had so much fun. It's interesting, the letter that God wrote to me, it didn't have, you will be this, you will be that, you will do this, you will do that. It just basically said, you are enough right here, right now. And if you just keep checking in with me, you'll be fine. And it wasn't a to-do list, because I'm already where I'm supposed to be, and I'll be there next year, too. Fellowship for this weekend. What a lovely framework to get to know so many people, new people that I might not have, you know, especially the cartooning. I'm a real crafty person, okay, that's well. And I resisted it even. But the best part of the retreat, I think, was those, you know, hearing the stories. They were wonderful, and I was like, that should be a lifeline. I love the way you set this up, that you didn't come off as a leader, a hero leader that knew everything, and you're just one of us. Mm-hmm. Not just one of us. You are that. And that came through. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, you can submit Lifeline articles online, I'm just saying, OA.org. Oh, and comic strips, yeah.
You can come to you, but you can come. You can come to the front of the class.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne, composer reader. And I just wanted to say that I'm feeling so much gratitude for being here, and I'm so grateful for the way that you ran things as well. I love, like, interacting with each other and have given us space to, like, look at things from a different perspective, because I feel like sometimes I can get caught in, like, doing things a certain kind of way, and then,
sometimes it works sometimes,
you know, and so, but, like, to be given, like, even, like, the different words to, you know, and how it correlates with the other step. It's just nice to see a way to, like, pull it out from a different space. And I also, like, I've been coming to OA for a long time, but I haven't been in a while, and so, you know, that's being generous. And so it's just been amazing to, like, come here and see my friends, and, like, it doesn't feel like any time has passed at all. So thank you.
We've got time for two more people. Any newcomers want to share? Just after Barbara. Barbara, come on.
We have a newcomer before Barbara.
Well, I know. Okay. After Barbara, we'll have a newcomer. If any newcomers want to say a word or two, they can.
Hi, I'm Barbara. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Barbara.
You know, I come to retreats, and I usually expect to be smaller when I leave. And I'm not smaller leaving this retreat. My comfort zone was expanded far beyond what I arrived with. My heart kind of got a little bigger. And potentially patience and tolerance might have grown. The good news is my ass, I think, is still the same size. I do come to a bottom line.
Yeah.
And I did not come to this retreat to have my damn comfort zone expand. and I will tell you the letter that I wrote. It came to me, and the pen started writing, and I'm going, what's this? Dear Barbara, hi. How are you? I just wanted to talk to you about your year. What an amazing year it's been. It was like an annual review of what is going to happen between now and next year. And it was, I wrote it, and then I read it, and then I said, okay, doable. Because anything's doable if I stay on the spiritual path, which I kind of learned. I have prayer stick. I've been informed I can't use it in any sort of aggressive way. I get some things now that I've never had in my toolbox, you know? So if you're new, keep coming back. If you've been around for a while, keep coming back. There's things to learn. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Denise, a recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Denise.
And I'll be short in case another new person wants to come up. Just saying. I couldn't share in circle because I was
going to cry. It's going to have to get messy. Because when we read the thing about the whole thing, just the tears came. And coming back, there's just such an openness to that whole that I have felt. So, 20 years ago, I spent 6 months and sort of tasted what this is about. From 3 months ago, I came back, and it's just so good to be back. And it's so precious what we all have here. And it's so good to be in person. And that was one thing I loved was when the response. So that was nice to feel that. So I was quick. Thank you.
My name is Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, let me just say, I came to OA in March of 1985. This is just confession time. And even till last week, even till yesterday, still trying to find that easier, softer way. So let me just describe myself as a chronic relapser. But here's the thing that I want to say, that in all of those years, the 30-plus years that I've been in this program, I knew that there was nowhere else for me to go. I was telling somebody, I think, at the table this morning, that OA was the last house on the end of the block for me. It was the only place that helped me to deal with the thing that triggers me to binge and eat, and that is relationships. And it doesn't matter whether it's intimate, whether it's with family, whether it's with coworkers, those are the things that drive me to the edge. But I've never left. I've lost 65 pounds 3 times in OA. In OA. And I finally realized that it's not about the weight. It's not even about the food. It's about working relationships and getting to know a higher power. And turning my will and my life over. Let me just say, I stumbled over step 3 for years and years and years and years. And the main reason for that is because my concept of God was of this judgmental man sitting in the sky who was taking account of everything that I did. And at the final day, when I sat in his presence, he was going to slam the book shut and tell me to keep stepping. I couldn't turn my will and my life over to that kind of God. I had to find a God that was loving, kind, benevolent, and who accepted me in my totality. So I stand here today to say to anybody who's still struggling with this program that there is a solution. The solution is the steps. Guess what? They tell us that every week. Some of us are just a little harder than others. But anyway, I love you and thank you for this weekend.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you. You have been so wonderful and beautiful and fun and loving. And I couldn't ask for anything better. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll do a little business here. And I have some questions. How long did it take for you to detox from your Diet Cola addiction? Because I went to the nutritionist, I was able to get a supplement that helped. It was called something cravings or whatever, and something that she and her health people put together. So I know that that helped, and let's see, it was November of 2006. So I think I just took it one day at a time, and, you know, just drank a lot of water. And, you know, talk to people. And then also this other question was, did I give up all my sugar-free stuff at the same time? And the answer is yes. No more gum, no more mints, you know, all the sugar-free stuff. And I don't do that today. And because, as you know, I mean, an 18-pack, I mean, you know, and I know some rooms I've heard, I mean, my friends, and I even challenge them on that. They say, you know, sugar-free, this is okay. And it's like, for some, it may be. You know, people always then come up and confess, well, I drink a lot of Diet Cola. Oh, okay. Yeah, I drink 3 cans a day. I'm like, oh, you're such a wimp. You know, I mean, unless your day is 2 minutes long, you know, then it might be excessive. But, you know, it's what we all choose to do, and it's all our own time. You know, that's the other thing. I know coming into these rooms, I always think, you know, I have to be what someone else is. You know, someone else is the epitome of whatever. And you know what? My higher power is going to decide for me whatever is going to be. And I really need to focus on being me, because that's who I was born to be, was Meg from the Midwest. And I'm going to do certain things in life. No, I'm not going to be an Olympic figure skater. Well, I could. It would be great entertainment. But I'd probably be on the floor or of the ice versus, you know, pirouetting into the air. What do you wish you had known about the OA journey when you were a newcomer? So I was a newcomer twice. So I'm trying to go back to 1985 and 2004. And I think really to talk about how important it is to have a sponsor, a recovery buddy. And I know we say in our meetings, please come back 6 times, because this might sound like boogity boogities, you know, Scooby-Doo and all that type of thing. So just come back for 6 weeks so you can figure it out. And we offer in our meetings people who will call you during the week. You know, we always call the newcomer. So I think it's to say that it's going to seem very confusing and overwhelming and weird. And to say, you know, thanks for being courageous enough to come into the rooms. I'd like to know, show of hands, when you first came into the rooms, you thought, oh, these people are going to be so weird and freaky and all of that. Yes. And look around. Aren't we wonderful freaks? Yeah. All right, this is a great question. I'm already thinking about what I want to eat when I get home on Sunday. How do I stop the insanity? So what I do, because I eat different than a lot of people, I pack my food. I'm flying home tomorrow, and I'm going to get home probably about 8 o'clock at night, so I'm going to have my meals with me, and I'm already thinking, okay, how do I get my vegetables with me, because you can only take 3 ounces. Okay, see, still goes on. I just want to be prepared. Well, they have stores at the airport that sell the things I need, and then I have my baggy stuff or whatever, always prepared. I would say going forward, when you do things like this, I have found it helpful to have my meal ready for me when I get home, so I don't have to think about it. When I was first in program, my food plan is very different than today. I eat, like I said, the typical American diet, you know, meat, vegetables, all that. And I didn't weigh and measure. I just ate, you know, portions. And the thing is, I had a beginning, middle, and end. You know, my meal didn't extend for half the day, and it didn't consume a shelf of the grocery store, in the middle of the grocery store. You know, now I avoid that. But as I learned to weigh and measure and so on, I remember a friend of mine, too, in program, she decided to go to weigh and measure, and I looked at her like, oh, you can't handle your food. And she said, oh, Meg, this has been such freedom for me, because when my plate is empty, that means the meal's done. Until I made that switch, and it's worked for me. But again, it's what's worked for me. So, but I found preparing, when I was working on site, so I worked on site 2 days a week, but when I was 5 days a week, I make my beans and lentils. I make it for the entire week. So I'll cook up 12 cups of beans, and they're sitting in my refrigerator, big bowl. But I pack all my lunches. I have containers. Now I have stainless steel because I don't want to use plastic. Trying to be environmentally conscious. And I pack all 5 days in my refrigerator. And I'll just tell you this, I've been doing this now for years. And the part of me, I used to do it on Sundays, now I do it on Saturdays, and it's like, oh, so now I have to pack my lunches. And part of me is like, Meg, you have a job. You have money, you can buy really good food. You have money, you bought the containers, you know. I mean, there's all this dialogue that goes in my head. But, oh, this is so hard. It's so hard to lift up a cup of beans and take it in there. I'll tell you. Oh, I built. But anyway. But every night when I come home from work, in my little six-pack cooler that I have that all my containers fit in because I measured everything to make sure I gave everything right, I feel like hot stuff because I take out my empties, open up the refrigerator, and there it is. I pull out my new containers and set it in there with a fresh new napkin. I use cloth napkins and my silverware and all of that. Zip it up, stick it on that second shelf, and I'm ready to go. It is the coolest thing. So those are some of the things I do. And we're always going to have drive-by food thoughts. And we're always going to have those things. It's just, what do you do about it? And if it gets too loud and insistent, what's one tool you can use? The phone, yes, and not the texting part. You actually dial numbers or the speed dial and wait for that voice, even though you're like, oh, please don't pick up, please don't pick up. Hi. Oh, you're just the person I was, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And that's when you're glad they can't see your face. But anyway, seriously, how many of you do feel good after you talk to someone on the phone? Okay, yeah. I know. It's weird, isn't it? So just know it's one of our quirks. That's all. Someone asked, I would love to buy raffle tickets and don't know how much cash to reserve for tips. Is there a suggested amount determined by the center or kitchen? So I don't know what you have here. I guess what I always bring dollar bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, and if there isn't like a community jar, you know, I put in whatever I can. It's like, really, what can you afford? What can you truly afford? Don't feel, well, I'm going to put in $50, but you can only afford $8. I mean, nobody's keeping track. As you can see, it's an opaque jar. And this is really saying thank you, because these people were our trusted servants this weekend. And that's what we look at. Always at a hotel, I always leave a tip. And I do that for my own, because I'm saying thank you. What do you do every morning for recovery? I jump out of bed and say, thank you, Lord! I have gone through various iterations, and I'm kind of on a transition phase right now. But I've gotten up and I've written, like they've, you know, heard them called morning pages, where I just dump everything out of my head. And then I would meditate for 15 minutes. And, you know, part of me thinks, well, if I'm doing it the right way, I would sit on a meditation pillow. And then I would center myself and sit on my sitting bones and do the deep breathing and so on. And sometimes I just lay in my bed. And that, you know, to me, I'm thinking lazy meditation. But the thing is, I'm doing it to take time, to take quiet time. I do talk to my higher power. I have a note on my window or my mirror in my bathroom that says, good morning, this is God. I will be handling all of your problems today. I will not need your help. And then I say, well, we'll see how well you do today. So anyway, so those are some of the things I do. I'm fortunate in that I live alone, so I get to just have my time. I also do a lot of sponsee calls in the morning, so I'm doing my service work that way. So that's a wonderful time to my day. And so when I, and it was great when I worked from home all the time, because then I'm just home and I can go out for a walk instead of driving or taking the bus to work. Well, now I do drive to work because I have my calls. And my calls are really centering, grounding, and I can be with fellows. Did everybody get a chance to see my pictures? Okay, good. I know this is probably from the other night. Sac Valley Intergroup has only 3 live meetings. Can we get a shout out to the people who prefer Zoom? Who prefers Zoom for the intergroup meeting? And then do you want people to talk out why or to go to someone and say why?
Why?
Why would you like to prefer Zoom? Anybody want to say why?
I prefer it because I live in Stockton, and it would take me over an hour to get to the intergroup meeting, and sometimes that would mean dark, just driving back home in the dark.
Okay. Valid. Thank you. Any other reasons for Zoom? Yes.
I prefer it because physically it's easier for me to attend a Zoom than to try to get to a meeting, and also because I get to meet with people that if I went to a meeting might not be there. So people that maybe live a little further away or for other reasons they can't come to a meeting. And so I feel like my world is broader by having you do it.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't remember. Yes, you go ahead and then I'll let you.
I was just going to say, to piggyback on that, like I do Zoom meetings from Rhode Island and all over the place, and it's wonderful because I feel like I have friends back there. Plus, I'm still anxious about being in groups of people.
Okay.
So I don't find anybody else, but I am.
Okay.
So,
I live in Monterey, and we don't have any in-person meetings. I think there's maybe one, but it's at like noon when I'm working, or I don't know. But I too go to my home group is a Sunday morning. It's 10 o'clock in Boston, but it's 7 o'clock here, so that's quite a commitment. Over 700.
Well, and I think too, yes, sure.
Thank you, Barbara.
Yes.
and dialed in through references from other friends. It's a 7 a.m. meeting in San Francisco, and believe me, that's not my normal time to be having deep thoughts. but I have to tell you, what I have to say, were it not for that meeting, one, I would not have found the sponsor I got. Were it not for that meeting, I would never have found all the range that happened.
Thank you. I'd like to put in a plug for Intergroup. So Intergroup is really where a lot of stuff happens. That's how this retreat came to be. And it's wonderful to go to meetings from all over the world and have people from all over the world, but we really need bodies at our Intergroup to do the work here and to do the service. And so I have been Intergroup treasurer, Intergroup chair, and I know that our Intergroup is struggling. And right now they're doing Zoom, but they're looking at hybrid. And again, if you want to know, I've talked to some people about what can be used that's not a ton of money and so on. But also, too, if it's kind of limping a little bit, is looking at, is the structure of the meeting working? I'm just saying this for Minnesota, because our meetings, one of our meetings is 3 hours away. You know, I mean, we have quite a broad reach. We have the Twin Cities area and the surrounding areas. And so anyway, it was really a report fest. You come in, you listen to everybody's reports, you talk a little bit, and then they had a recovery person talk for 15, 20 minutes and so on. And they said, oh, it's really working, but we can't get people to come. We had 8 people at an intergroup meeting out of 55 meetings. That, I would not say, is working very well. So there was discussion, and what was tried was, let's come do the pertinent reports, such as you have to approve the minutes, you have to approve the treasurer's report, I mean, those key things, because they are registered nonprofit organizations, so you really do need to do the business elements. You really do need to have a board of directors. And then we broke in 3 groups, 12-step within, public information, professional outreach. And then they broke out into Zoom groups, into each group, and each group came up with something they're going to work on, whatever. At the last end of the meeting, they came back and reported what they're doing, what they're going to do between this month and next month, and if we need volunteers and whatever. And they've noticed people, the attendance is picking up. So again, that is something to really consider looking at if you need, you know, if there's a need. If you need to do hybrid, look at, you know, the funding and the time for that. Because there's valid reasons to be in person, and there's valid reasons to do Zoom. We will no longer be the same after this pandemic. We are coming into our new normal. So this question, let me get here. Oh, I have that. All right. How did you get your house organized? I just moved next door. You think I'm kidding? No, I did all those things. I talked to my friends. I asked them to help me. And the thing is, I'm very organized when it comes to like doing things like this. I have everything laid out. I color-coded all that stuff. But it's this, just drop and go. And then I'm a paper person. I'm guaranteed I won't go to hell because I have all the paper in the world. There's nothing left for me. But I relied on friends. I watched all the stuff that we have that's free out there, how to do this, how to do that, worked on this, worked on that. Really worked through What can I get rid of? Really get rid of. Because it's easy sometimes to go through and do the big detox. I don't know if some of you know blue, black, or white. You know, it's kind of like all or nothing. And then I get a little carried away on the all, and then sometimes on the nothing. And so those are the things. If you want to know more, just come up to me. We'll share information, and I'll share more. But I had found my routine, and part of that is talking about my chronic disorganization. I had so much shame around it, tons of shame. Being the oldest of five, both of my parents worked full-time. I really was a surrogate parent, and I was responsible at the age of 8 to do the washing for the entire family. The only thing I didn't have to do was cook. My dad did that, thank goodness. He was a very good cook. But I took my siblings to their doctor's appointments. I stayed home from school if they were sick, if a babysitter couldn't show up. I just did all those things. So it's no surprise I have no children. I already did my stint. But anyway, and I love kids. But, you know, that's okay. So anyway, but I always felt great shame because my room was always a mess. Because the only time I could sneak time to be in my room was on the sly. And so I could have some time alone. So I wasn't always called to do something. So I didn't learn how to do that. And so I had to face, you know, it's almost like I didn't know it at the time because I didn't have the card, but 12-stepping a problem. I am powerless over the shame I have in my perception of if I'm a good person, my house will be perfect. I'm going to turn my care over to my higher power. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to admit to someone else. It's not like I'm terrible and awful and shameful. I'm going to admit I don't know how to do this, and I feel I should know how to do this. And then I learn. And then it's like, you know, I mean, we know, we see all this stuff, and that's the other thing. It's like, what do we fill our minds and hearts and souls with? Because that's what I do for myself, is that if I'm busy looking at a staged perfection where there's a whole staff of people putting things in a certain way, then of course I'm going to fall short. I mean, back in my OA part one when I was into bodybuilding, oh, I didn't get into that too much. I mean, I wanted to be the next Ms. Minnesota. And I, you know, like I said, I pushed it. I even went to a couple of things. And the one last one I went to, which was really good, that I wasn't OA at the time, this one woman got up. Of course, she's, like, stunningly beautiful. So it's like I would have had to have done a lot more work than lift a barbell. But anyway, she talked about how she had to starve herself 2 weeks before she, you know, flexed herself. And then you hardly have any water 3 days before because your muscles have to look a certain cut. And then she said she'd compete. And then that night, she would eat a full, let's just say, steak dinner, go in the bathroom, burp it up, and do it 2 more times. And I thought, I can't do that. I'm in program. And which I was glad I was. And so then I did what a typical struggling compulsive overeater does. Okay, I'm done. I'm not going to lift weights anymore. You know, like somehow that was going to be my destiny. But anyway. But I liked how I felt strong and all of those things. But it's like putting myself to what that perfection is and not really looking at what's behind the scenes of that perfection. It's really getting to know. And so as you've learned, you know, met new people and talked and hearing their stories and so on, we find out, wow, you know, we look at that person and we think, oh, they probably lived a very nun-like life. And then you find out, oh, they were a drug mule from, you know, Mexico to California back in the day. It's like, oh, wow. Never would have put that to, yeah. Exactly. So anyway, as we re-enter, I want everyone to just take a deep breath right now. And we had a wonderful, blessed weekend. And I just want you to think about, what are you going home to today? Do you have a significant other? Do you have kids, grandchildren? Do you have pets? And they're going to want all your loving because you haven't been there. Or they're going to want all of your energy because they haven't had someone to whine to, talk to, love to, whatever. And I'd like to ask you to think about how you really like your evening to be. And so you can ask, maybe if you have smaller children or teenagers who want everything, is to say, hey, can we just have an hour for me? I can just kind of unpack and unwind, and then we can kind of get into it. But you don't have to rush right into it. Or be able to drive home, just to kind of think about that. But really give yourself the time to ease into the rest of the day, that you don't all of a sudden have to snap your hat on. If you can, try something different. You already tried a couple of new things this weekend. I heard many of you. So now, not only me, but your higher power has got your number. So already knows that you can do something different. But really think about that. And maybe leave the social media alone and just be with the quiet and just ease into the night. Because I know sometimes that stuff's juicy. Oh, we want to see what the latest, the next whatever it is. And it's really about honoring yourself and honoring your heart right now. Because we were in a safe bubble. And we can carry that feeling through the rest of the day. And then rely on your higher power to say, help me expand into this. And to just know that, you know, you're just going to have to go back into the day and, you know, you're going to be covered. And if you need to, get someone's number before you leave, and maybe you're talking on the way home, you know, to someone else on the phone. That's a lot of what I do, too, if I'm alone. I'm going to be going to Omaha next month, and it's a six-hour drive each way, and I know when I'm driving home, I listen to certain podcasts because it just helps me unwind, and then I also talk to people, too, just kind of share what's going on. So, anybody have any questions? All right, so what I would like is everyone to put their chair on the back, right? Is that right, Rick?
No, we can.
Oh, the circle. Should we put our chairs first and then do the circle?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with yes because I'm over control.
Well, then we'll have an open room to do this.
You are not wrong.
All right. Oh.
Yeah. You want to answer right now?
I don't know if you want to give it to somebody or make it available. If you don't want us to contact you.
Well, yeah, no, I just tried to think that. Well, we'll just kind of wait till everybody gathers around and does our thing, and then I'll say if anybody wants to come up, bring your phone.
That's a good idea.
Oh, sure. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you. Just in case it's a little later, if that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
Because it's 4:09, right?
Yes. And it's 916-833-7076.
Okay.
It is. Spirited.
Ooh, like it already.
Then it's ERTH@AOL.com.
Is this your name?
I couldn't get the A in there because AOL wouldn't accept it. Too long. Okay, let's have to spell Earth without no.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, I'm thinking about how she's been involved in elected. She's got
a
we have a little going away gift for you.
Oh.
And it's special.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, would you like, there's three or four little things. Would you tell us to open it and show the group
Sure. What
your higher power got for you?
Woo!
They don't look everything you want to know.
I love it. Yes.
And it's brilliant. Bag of rocks.
Yeah. Go with the bag of sticks. Oh, wow. Thank you.
The book is called Clarity by a local Tahoe artist.
Oh, wow. I love books. Thank goodness there isn't a Books Anonymous that I have. See, if this is a box of chocolate, I mean it would be.